Go Strategic is pleased to present the following teaching entitled, The Battle to Preserve Your Spiritual Growth by Dennis Peacock.
There are two major issues in surrounding the truth. Number one deals with what I talked about already with you, which was, what truth do you own? All of us are in the process, depending upon our self-consciously being aware that we are in training for the kingdom of God. Again, you're in the schools for a level of training for God that you can only get some of that material in those schools. And the whole process of training on a concept means I'm aware of the concept. We use the big words. I'm epistemologically self-conscious. Epistemology has to do with the study of learning, and being self-conscious has to do with being aware, the level of awareness of yourself. Can I get a witness? How many of you are self-consciously aware that God wants you to be self-consciously aware of what he's doing with you and why he is doing it? I would expect everybody at this level to be aware, and you're living with the question of, Lord, what are we doing right now? And you're reading the Bible in the context of, speak to me, Holy Spirit, about the things that you're working on in me, that you're working on in my children, that you're working on in my spouse, that you're working on in the ones that I am committed to and committed with. As a leader, anybody that I have any influence leading, I want to know as much as I can about what the Holy Spirit is doing with that person so that I can join forces, so to speak, and I can be aware to interpret events and things that are going on in that person's life because I have a general knowledge of where they are. In other words, I want to be a matured discipler who knows how to study their disciples. How many of you know Jesus was quite aware, acutely aware of what was going on with all those men and women who followed him? So truth is all about first conceptually becoming aware, intellectually, of a truth. And then we start the process of God making that which is abstract, tangible, and alive and well in me. The Word became flesh. John, the apostle, the deep diver, talked about the Word became flesh, dwelling in life among us. And all of us, I am right now in my own set of things that God is working on in me. And I want to be self-consciously aware so I can be not resisting, but opening up the more so, not being defensive, but eagerly looking for, all right, do the work. And if you can allow me to be a part of it and encouraged by that, let me do it. But the second half of truth and the battle for truth is, how do you protect it when the enemy comes after it? How do you protect what you think you own? And are you willing to have if God permits that the enemy would be able to engage you directly, as he did Job, but there were borders that God had constructed around what that pressure and that warfare would look like. How many of you, I know this is a room of a lot of matured people. How many of you are aware that God will, because I have a whole teaching I do called God the Prize Fight Manager, because God is a prize fight manager, allowing you to battle the the warfare that you now need to go to the next level. Can I get a witness? And again, like a fight manager, he expects us to trust him that he will not put us in a fight we can't win. Some fights he allows us to fairly quickly and easily dismantle my opponent. Other fights, not that way. Because in order to grow, he may put me into a fight that he knows I will lose, because there are some things you can lose and learn more by losing than if you'd won. And now I really say, is there a witness? How many of you know God well enough to know he will never desert you, but he will allow you to get your tail kicked if he thinks that is an important part of your growth process? So truth has got two major dimensions. My wrestling with it first cognitively and intellectually, and then going into the process of that truth coming to the point where I can incarnate what that means and function and think in alignment with that truth that is being, begin to own it. And then secondly, defend it. Now, I've never heard a lesson in church on defending truth. I'm not saying that it hasn't been done. I'm just saying I've never heard it. And I've been in a lot of churches and heard a lot of messages. God have mercy. Offense, this brings the difference between offense and defense. And whether you know it or not, you are you. I say, don't look at me, white man. You, you are in offense or defense around something right today. We live in some kind of a spiritual equilibrium where God wants to keep it, you know, as good as it can be, but he wants an atmosphere that will produce what he wants in his kids. Everybody in here, unless you're in a point of rest, and that does exist, thank God, but we go in and out of offense and defense. We go in to that which we're trying to become alive in us, and we go into defense when we can begin to see that the enemy has been given permission, which is important to know that it God went through God's fingers before it came towards you. But you're now in a position where you will be defending what you've gained. Offense is exciting because it leads to new possibilities. When there's growth going on, God only knows, God knows, I don't, but he asked me to trust him to go through hard things to get to new levels. Anybody in the house been through hard things to get to new levels? Defense is not actually exciting in that way because it offers the possibility of losing ground and discovering that you don't own yet what you thought you owned, because it could be dismantled or taken from you in the battle. And that can be very, very discouraging. All of us in here have been discouraged by battles we didn't win and may not yet be fully on the ownership side of it. And that is normal Christianity. And God, the fight manager, is determined to get you to the point where you can take the title and own what you own and defend it from the enemy and learn the process well enough that as parents, we can train our children and become a replica fight manager like our Heavenly Father. You can go home and say, what did that crazy man teach on? God, the fight manager. You'd never heard about Jesus, the fight manager, till you met me. But he is a fight manager. Knowing exactly the order and the pressure that will produce what he most wants to produce in you, for your destiny, which is for the enlightenment and the empowerment of the people that you have influence with. And somebody said, amen. So defense. Defense is sometimes backing out. It is definitely getting space. Now, again, this is 20 years of training people. You know, when you train people physically, on one level, it's an absolute joy for me who spend so much time conceptually with people. When you're working with people in real-time situations, they immediately do what they do, and they can't hide. And, of course, training people, which was great, was training somebody so that if you gave them a defense and trained them in a particular move to defend themselves, you would watch them go from being afraid to being a little skeptical. And the more and more you trained them and the more training they got from you, they came to the point where they could defend themselves from something that would have damaged them tremendously. And at high levels would have potentially killed them if they got hit by that kick to the head or whatever it was. And they learn that if they train the right stuff, hear me now, and do the right stuff, they will be able to block attacks against them. And my brothers and sisters, I am now talking in the spirit. If you will learn the right defense and practice the right defense, you will move from fear to faith to victory, and then begin to move to what God allows you to go through all that stuff, which is to get it to those who want it. Find the ones that God has called to draw that experience and that wisdom from you, because millions of Christians have no clue what to do when they are attacked in the spirit. And they wonder why their prayer alone doesn't necessarily change the game. Because sometimes prayer alone is not going to change the game, because God is not after you for more prayer. He's after you to become a better listener, or he is taking you into situations where you may meet somebody who can help train you so that you can block and go from defense to offense in one move. And that's really cool when you get to that point. Satan loves to mock you. Of all the things we're going to say here, the one I'll give you now and close with it, and this is where I wish that there was another way to get here, but my experience is there isn't. And I'll begin by saying most Christians that I know or know anything about, spiritual warfare is a phenomena. It is not a battle with a real being. Most human beings are insecure enough, and that would begin with me. Most of us are insecure enough. The idea of a real being who is more powerful than we are, existing, who is actually coming against us, is more than they can handle. That's a very serious comment. But my experience is, after dealing with a lot of people, is we don't want to make personal what Satan has made very personal. You have an angelic host who has been assigned to you. You also have a demonic prince. Depending upon your level of perceived threat, underlined, according, because they will change. The first spirit that I actually saw that came after me was in 1974. He came in the end of the bed, and I looked down and saw him in the spirit, and he was reading me like a phone directory, and I felt him reading me, although I'd never heard of such a thing. But I perceived this, there's a being here, and that being is getting data about me from me. And when it was over, he left. And I knew what had happened, although I didn't talk to anybody but Jan about it. And I never knew anybody that had any experience like that. The next time that happened was many, many years later on a hunting trip with Adam, where I had an engagement with a prince this time who did the same thing, looked at me, saw me, and he was a prince from Europe. And I woke up praying in tongues and my hair was all on straight up. And I said, Lord, I can't, that guy. He's so much smarter than I am. And he said to me, Dennis, what did you see? And I said the same thing again. And a third time, he said, Dennis, what did you see? All of a sudden, I refocused on what I saw in his eyes. He was mocking me, but he also wanted a piece of my tail. It was very clear that he'd been assigned to help get me. And all of a sudden, I said, I get it. I can defeat him because he does not have the fear of the Lord. I can defeat that which does not have the fear of the Lord. Now, I don't know what you are doing right now with what I just said to you. I don't know if you think I'm spooky, that that was my imagination, or what you think. But what I do care is that you realize the warfare that is coming after you is a being, and it is personal. Now, what I'm going to do, actually, if I'm really fighting, I'm moving, and there's a lot going on. It's real, and it's personal. It's not in the fairy tale world. It's in the real world of materiality. Now, thank God there are rules to what Satan can and can't do. But nevertheless, you will not be able to have victory against him, certainly at the higher level of your spiritual growth, without realizing this is personal. And I'm not going to try and philosophize this away. This is a real contest between me and this being. And the contest is over, whatever it's over. And we need to be clear on what is the real battle going on in the situation. Because the enemy cares enough to try and destroy whatever he will destroy, can destroy in your faith. And do, and now I get to the Bible verse of where all this is from, John 10:10. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Now, I've been through a lot of warfare, and I went through a very serious health issue in 2010, dominoed, where I was at the edge of death. And my point to the Lord was, you can't, politely, Jesus, you got to be kidding me. You couldn't pull me with everything you've put into me for these days. I was made for these days. And some of what I am is your fault. You're not really going to pull me out of the game, are you? And as I put that in front of my, am I going to die? which for me, the dying was leaving the field earlier to a player to take somebody off the field is death. You know, you can't take me off the field unless you're willing to see me, I don't know, do what. And on the third day, he said, "Don't ask me again." And that his voice was very hard around me. "Don't ask me again," as in, "Shut up, stupid, and trust me." So I went through a level of trust where my life was at worth. And I finally made it to the point where I gave him permission. "If you want to take me, and I won't resist. I won't pray to get healed. Take me." That was my victory in that situation. But I'm telling you, the warfare that was coming against me, it came to the point where I realized Satan didn't want me to die because he was damaging me enough. And I one of the things, again, I thought about, which is reality, not that I'm going to run off in adultery or something, but if I was defeated, whatever influence I've had on people was at risk. And I realized that. And I really paid attention to the way that he was fighting. And the way that he was fighting was nibbling away and then eating more and more, of trying to turn every supernatural experience I've ever had with God. He was trying to take away from me or mitigate it to the point where circumstances, not God, could have been what was responsible for what's happened. I've been through a lot of miracles. I know there's others in here who, all of you in the schools and stuff, we assume you've had some miracles happen that couldn't happen. And that is what he was after first, was to steal from me the experience that I'd had. And if he could weaken those pinions that you drive into the stone as you're climbing up a mountain, the pitons, I could feel him pulling at every spiritual python that had been nailed in my life as I was going up the mountain of faith. And what I was most concerned, which gave me the greatest amount of later for you, I wish I could say it, but I'm in church. Later for you, you know, telling him what I thought he might do to himself. I thought about my wife, I thought about my kids, I thought about any of you that have affected your life. What would that do if I began to unravel and move away from the testimony that God had given to me, which would make it easier for the enemy to get some of those closest to me? Because we know Dennis is a hardhead and he's got a lot of unredeemed, the bad words in me. I think are you with me? Can you feel me? Okay. I got enough of that in me for two or three people. And I give God the credit for that. I didn't make that or put that in me. God was put that in me because I am a warrior. I am a warrior in times of war. And there's other warriors in here in times of war. And God is the one who made you a warrior, and for some of you, I'm sorry, because touching the warrior part of God is touching a hardness in him that is pretty scary. I'll just put it that way. But I tell you this, the older I get, the more I feel God's love for people. I'll be with some of you sometimes, I can feel God's love for you so much, I ask the Holy Spirit to back off because I feel it's more than I can emotionally handle. And by the same token, I feel Satan's hate for some of the people that I'm with. And that brings all my stuff up because I hate him. I used to wonder, what's greater, my love of Jesus or my hate for Satan? I hate him. I hate he's a bully. He's a tough guy with those that can't defend themselves. And that arouses something in me that is the warrior. And by the way, if you want to get God's opinion about warriors, go to Isaiah chapter 3 and read the first two verses, and you will find out when God releases a civilization or a person or an organization, he gives Satan the power to first remove the warrior. The warrior goes before the priest. The warrior goes before the prophet, because the warrior is the one willing to die, eager to die in the right situation. The one that doesn't run from the gunshot, that run towards the gunshot. That's the warrior. And when the warrior class of any given situation is removed, that situation is now naked, because the warriors are the ones that protect what needs to be protected. And I know that there's some warriors here that know exactly what I mean, because you have the warrior in you. We could spend a lot more time than we have dealing with this, but the power of our witness is what Satan wants to steal. Why is stealing what he begins with? Because stealing and turning the acts and the moments with God, the preciousness of your experience with God, his protection of you, the things you saw him do that only God could do, if that testimony can be reduced in its power, it takes away its power not only from you, but then you become diseased spiritually to some degree. Unbelief has now got a piece of you if he was able to pull that experience and turn it into a natural phenomena instead of a true spiritual encounter. In my dark hours, I went to a new level of warfare with him. Why? Because I'm alive now. And it's worse now than it was in 2010. I cry for the masses, for what's in front of us. Not because I'm afraid of it, but because there's millions of human beings that are not in any way prepared for what's coming. And unfortunately, and that's why what I'm talking about right now is so important. We need to raise a small army, an army of leaders who are able to spiritually fight Satan so that he in no way takes any faith from you, not a drop or a measure, because he got to you and you can't sleep at night because he won't stop giving you the same rerun movies of something that was negative that happened in your life and you haven't got away from it yet, okay? There's many things I could talk about, the way that he tries to steal us. And I've been awake all night many times fussing with, you know, what is this? What do I do? What do I say? I see the situation. I can feel the warfare. I feel the enemy involved in this. How do you want me to respond? Blah, 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 blah. I know all that. I'm not impervious. Because I'm a warrior doesn't mean that I'm not aware of what it means to fight tough guys in the spirit. Because the ones assigned to you are the ones God wants to have you deal with, but he's got an escape. He's got a way out. He's got a technique he wants to give you so that you will succeed. You can be sure the scripture says he will never allow us to be tested or tempted beyond that which we can handle. But I'm saying to you, what's coming? And the thing, you know, on one level, I wish I could speak to the whole body of Christ, spend 2 or 3 hours on helping them understand it is personal. It's about what he wants to do with you. It is personal. Because until you accept that it's personal, and it's personal against people you love, you will not fight at the level you need to learn to fight. The thing that bothers me most about what's going on right now, and I remember those moments, I actually had gone out of into arrhythmia and have been put on drugs that I could feel affecting my consciousness and my energy, which was a threat again to my ministry on a level of, Lord, you can't be allowing this to happen. And in the middle of that, I saw the parade of demon princes who were marching into the planet in February of 2020. I saw it. I perceived it. It was real. And I'm sitting there looking for 2 weeks, feeling, dear God, have mercy on us. We're not ready for these guys. This church is not ready for this. You've got to prepare the warrior, the leaders. You've got to prepare them to be able to lead the people whose reality is going to be crumbling, and they can't believe you, Father, allowed this to happen. Well, it takes you to the Jews in World War II that God allowed to happen. I could take you to Vietnam or Laos or Cambodia, where I know of church leaders there that couldn't believe of what God allowed to happen. God will and can allow that stuff to happen. And we don't know, it's crazy enough out there. We don't know where this is going to go, but I do know this. We need more men and women who are trained on defense. Now, if I had you physically to train, I love to train people because physically it shows up what you need immediately. It's not the Lord showed me. It's what I just saw. You can't hide in the physical world where you're at. One of the first things I would say is you need to distinguish what kind of blocking is this fight requiring. Is this fight requiring the heavy, big, big, slow blocks that are turning defense into offense where, as I'm doing that, as I'm here, I'm there. And that costs you to attack me because my defense is now my offense. We have to come to the point in the spirit where all of us or many of us are able to do that in the spirit, or most particularly do what we call brush blocking. I used to have Adam here to demonstrate with me, but he won't do it anymore. Now that isn't true. But brush blocking is when you come and I put out no energy whatsoever. But I formed a 90-degree flat angle, brushed off, and didn't allow you 1 second of my time or energy. If you don't know how to brush block, you'll be crash, bang. The enemy will steal your energy. You need to understand the difference between the blocking that requires prayer and praying in the spirit, searching with others until you learn to brush block. Push. I could go on. The second thing he wants to do is kill. We know what that means. That means he's trying to destroy and kill the joy of our salvation. It's easy to just get flat worn down by the warfare. I battle it sometimes. Sometimes I'm tired enough, and that if I get attacked when I'm tired, I just want to shut down. And you're going to have to learn, if you don't know yet, how to skip space. I was teaching you beginning to fight. you get space is the first thing. And then the second thing is you get control of your breath. You must be trained to get space. How many of you, oh, I wish I had time to help you personally. How many of you automatically, when you begin to get attacked and you know it's an attack, get space and take in air? Do it physically, not just spiritually, because what you do physically is a training mechanism for who you are spiritual. I get space and take control of my breath. When you get surprised, what's the first thing you do? You bump and you exhale and you're out of breath immediately. I don't know if you've paid attention and noticed how quick you're out of breath. And I mean, you're out of breath in an impossible way because you pushed it out in a way that almost shuts off what's going on in your esophageal area, okay? So I'm getting space. And if I can, I'm going to brush block. I'm not going to go into any. I want to give the enemy the least amount of my energy. Because ultimately, warfare is about endurance. Who lasts longer? If I know I'm going into a spiritual battle, I want to begin to measure my energy. And of course, the older you get, the less energy on some levels you become. So then you have to learn how to do some other stuff. Okay. He kills you by, again, destroying your testimony and going after the foundations. That if you cut my legs off me and I have no legs, you might as well kill me. He goes after whatever the key, the biggest foundations of your faith, the pillars of your faith is what he goes after, because if he gets those things, he's killed your joy. He's taken from you your testimony, and he's killed from you the major materials that were under your legs. And lastly, he destroys, and what does he destroy? The faith of others connected with you. There's a number of pastors here, leaders. How many times as leaders have we tried to help somebody whose parent committed suicide or whose whatever, some situation took place that was catastrophic in their life, and try and repair them, try and help them build their way in recreating a foundation? Because more than we know, and think maybe Adam even mentioned that this morning, how many of you suspect that more than we know, we're connected? Do we really understand the degree to which we're connected? I think our enemy sees that area much more than we see it. How many of you have had somebody that you believed in and found out they were a pastor, you know, involved in adultery? In 50 plus years, I've gone through that one. Elders who, you know, I wonder if how much signaling was going on before you realized you were going in that path and you're almost caught, and then you were caught. What were you thinking? Were you even aware? Where were you to get space when the possibility of that first situation came up? And you try and help them recover because somebody they trusted, somebody that had, you know, it's really hard on the suicide stuff. With all these divorces, with the fragmentation with relationships, and I'm going to close with this. Maybe another day we'll have an 8-hour class on how to really fight. But we are connected deeply in the spirit. those of us that have been walking together for years, I know, you know, we have phone calls, people we haven't seen in a long time. Something happened, you feel. And then when you hear it, you feel how closely you really are connected with that person and how the way they respond. You know, the converse is true. When we get stories, victory stories of somebody that we know and love that has achieved something that really matters, man, does that boost your faith? You know, you're ready to take on, you know, the tigers and the lions and the bears. And let them come and good to see you. Some of you know what I just did. My word, I don't know word. My word is Alice. When the tough guys have come after me in the spirit, there's a part of me that says, oh, Alice, I've been waiting for you. That's just me. God have mercy on us. Recognize that you're not just owning the truth and in a process of gaining truth. You're getting in a process of learning how to fight and defend the ground. The pea patch and your sword, and you vowed in your heart, you will not give up the pea patch. You know the story I'm talking about. It's been a joy and a privilege. Only the Holy Spirit can help you. I'm sorry for the part of you that is a warrior that you may not have yet taught or rather caught. Our God is a mighty God of war. Go to Isaiah 3 and see the order with which civilizations are destroyed. And you'll see as clear as day the plug in the sink that holds all the water and keeps it in the sink is the warriors who are willing and even eager to die for the sake of that for which they've given their lives. Amen.
This is a copyrighted program of Go Strategic, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Go Strategic is an international nonprofit organization that educates and equips leaders and others for effective service and leadership using biblical principles. For more information, visit us online at www.gostrategic.org.